The Linux News Log Podcast, episode number 113 for Monday, November 27th, 2006. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Linux News Log, your source for Linux and open source related news on the net. Live to the hard drive from Phoenix, Arizona. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Hey everyone, how's it going? You are listening to Linux News Log. I am your host, Adrian Bacon, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio BR2. It is episode number 113. It's about 10:05 p.m. here in Phoenix, and I need to get this recorded and out the door and uploaded and all that other stuff by midnight, so a little bit of a time crunch. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to www.techpodcasts.com. If you like any of our shows, you will certainly find other technology-related shows as well. We're also listed over at Blueberry, the place where podcasters and podcast listeners finally come together. So let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode. Starting off with LinuxDevices.com, Linux Pen Pad nears PCI PED approval. What the heck am I talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Italian PAS, which is Point of Sale System Specialist DA Sistemi Group, will soon obtain security approval from Visa, MasterCard, and JCB for Linux-based PIN entry terminal. The PIN pad, D and Y pad, incorporates a security-oriented system on a chip and associated Linux software from InnovaCard and targets supermarket and store counter payment transactions. So this is actually kind of cool. The next time you're in Italy, I guess, or they've got some pictures here. It's actually kind of neat. The next time you use a pin pad, it very well may be running Linux underneath all those little buttons. So kind of nice. Thought I'd bring that to everybody's attention. The next story that we've got is from Information Week. It's Red Hat beefing up virtualization support in enterprise Linux. This sounds so familiar, but I can't place it. Red Hat plans Tuesday to ship its second beta edition of Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5.0 with Red Hat's first support for Xen open source virtualization. Red Hat is adding management capabilities into Red Hat Linux designed to put Xen on more of an equal footing with VMware, the commercial market leader in virtualization. Red Hat made its Anaconda installer software able to install virtual machines as well as regular software. And the Red Hat Network, which automatically sends out patches and upgrades to Red Hat customers, can now automatically update Linux in virtual machines as well as on physical servers. So that's very, very nice. Beefing up virtualization, I think that's where a lot of this is going to go, where, you know, I used to be, when I was running IT, five or six years ago, I ran a small internet service provider here in Phoenix. Well, I owned it. Anyway, long story short, I had probably 15 or 20 boxes because I wanted everything on separate computers for, you know, reliability and all this other stuff. Well, systems are getting robust at a hardware level now, and they're making them hot swappable enough that you can have a part fail and not lose the whole server, and they're finding out it's a lot less expensive and uses less electricity instead of having 15 servers sitting there that never reach 5% utilization. Why don't you just take those 15 servers and put them on one fairly fast server that costs a lot by itself, but it's less expensive than 15 lesser fast servers, and suddenly, you know, everything is running on one box, and it's all actually still pretty fast. The end user doesn't notice any difference. So I'm glad Red Hat's doing this beefing up in their virtualization because I want it someday. From Channel Times, CCS Infotech achieves Linux certification. CCS Infotech, a Chennai-based manufacturer of desktops, laptops, servers, and peripherals, announced that it has been awarded Linux certification by Red Hat Enterprise, the corporate Linux standard for its range of advanced PCs. So, kind of nice. Yahoo! From Slashdot, don't fear the penguins. I love that. Blizzard unbans Linux World of Warcraft players. So if you're a World of Warcraft player, apparently you're getting about 20 days. Or I didn't look real close at this because I don't really play it, but I thought I'd at least mention it. There will be a link in the show notes if you want to find out more about it. But they're lifting a ban on World of Warcraft players using Sadiga, which is the Linux-based Windows emulator. And so if you are a huge World of Warcraft player, you can now play on Linux again. Okay, don't go away. We're going to pay a couple of bills, and then we will be right back with more Linux news. This episode is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Getting to and from meetings, like driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting or flying to headquarters for a half-day training session, can be a real waste of time and money. Well, you can save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can invite people to meet you online, and during your call, they see your computer screen on their monitor. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need. It's one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. There's no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. No credit card needed. All right. From PC Advisor over in the UK, French National Assembly switches to Linux. So it looks like they're moving over to Linux, OpenOffice, and Firefox. Deputies elected to the French National Assembly in the next legislative... My brain's getting ahead of my mouth here. In the next legislative session, will find open source software on their desktop PCs. The use of free software will result in substantial cost savings despite the cost of migration and training, the assembly said. So, wow. Amazing. They're switching over. They're saying Windows is too expensive, and I don't blame them. From Computer Business Review Online, OIN stands ready to protect Linux from patent attack. This is kind of interesting. Having formed last year to provide Linux with intellectual property protection, the Open Invention Network has declared itself ready to respond to Microsoft Corp's baseless claims that Linux contains its IP. For those of you who don't already know, I think I reported on this, Microsoft and Novell, maybe it was one of my other shows I did, I can't remember. Microsoft and Novell did a Linux Pact thing, and then like a week later, Steve Ballmer, like totally Mr. Bluster himself, Linux is infringing on Microsoft intellectual property, you know, and all this other stuff. And so this company here, I hope you got a lot of money, because Microsoft has a lot of money and they can bury you. Anyway, don't get too much in their way. The New York-based patent stockpiler was formed in November 2005 by IBM, Red Hat, Novell, Philips, and Sony to acquire patents, offering them royalty-free to Linux supporters and using them as a defensive weapon against patent attacks. So they're saying they're ready. We'll see. Hopefully this never makes it to court, because that just gets in everybody's way. From EnterpriseITPlanet.com, in their networking news section, IBM makes Linux and Grid easier. IBM unveiled new service offerings to help ease adoption of Linux and Grid computing technologies. Big Blue said its implementation services for Linux and Grid and Grow Express implementation are based on a new IBM research-designed automated web-based tool that can significantly reduce implementation time and expense. For Linux implementations, IBM said its new implementation services for Linux service product helps clients quickly implement Novell SUSE Linux or Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So, kind of cool. If you're in the market for that, do check it out. From internetnews.com, Novell discontinues support for SUSE Linux 9.2. Boy, didn't they just release that like not even 2 years ago? Some Linux distributions have longer lives than others. After 2 years of supported life, Novell is discontinuing support for SUSE Linux 9.2, effective yesterday. That's the Dr. Pepper talking. Its closest competitor, Red Hat's Fedora Core 3, which was released at roughly the same time as SUSE Linux 9.2, remains supported. Huh. Interesting. Well, it's their call. The next story that we have is for all of you gamers out there. From GameSpot.com, we've got a story, Yellow Dog Linux launches for the PlayStation 3. Dun, dun, dun. Sony has been saying that it sees its new next-gen machine, the PlayStation 3, as more of a computer than a console. Terrasoft Solutions is now making Yellow Dog Linux 5.0 available for download for the PS3, taking that idea a step closer to reality. The operating system will be rolling out in three stages. The first starts today, November 27th, and users can obtain the software from YDL.net. The second starts December 11th, when you can buy a DVD from Terrasoft for $100. And the final stage, due sometime the week of December 25th, when they'll make downloads available via public mirrors. Once it's released for download on the public mirrors, it will be free of charge. So, wow. Interesting. Anyway, they've got some other information here. So if you are planning to get a PlayStation 3 or you already have a PlayStation 3, heaven forbid anybody actually gets one because Sony only shipped nothing, almost. You might want to check this out. Yellow Dog, that's the way to go, at least on a PlayStation. Okay, that will pretty much wrap it up for this edition of Linux News Log. We do have some listener feedback from listener Brian. He writes in, "Hi, I've been listening to your Linux News Log podcast for a while, and it's great. Thank you. Please keep up the good work, and feel free to do some personal editor rants every now and then." Well, thanks. I think I will. Is there a website like EFF.org to guide Linux users to not-so-friendly Linux companies to bombard with emails? For example, click here to write a letter to Macromedia for better Linux support, or click here to write Blizzard, or Apple demanding OGG support for iPods, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I don't know. You do recommend one here, linuxprotest.org. I haven't even looked to see if that's if there's anything there, but I would presume there's got to be somebody out there already that's doing something like that. If you know of anybody, please do go to our website, linux.quicksurf.com. and leave a comment in the comment field for the show notes for this show, and they won't show up right away because I do have everything turned on to moderate. But you should be able to leave a comment there and just spout off. The next story, or not the next story, the next letter that we got. This is kind of cool. It's from listener Joe. "Hi, Adrian. I found your Linux Newslog podcast a few weeks ago, and by listening to about 2 or 3 episodes a day, I'm almost caught up." Wow. Considering I've got, 113 episodes now, roughly? That's a lot. I just listened to 104 and was interested in your challenge to your listeners about the Ogg Vorbis issue. I'm relatively new to the open source Linux world and am constantly adding little pieces of knowledge and experience to my too slowly growing level of expertise. Until now, I'd never heard of Ogvorbis, so I've been downloading your MP3 feed from iTunes to my XP machine and playing it on my non-iPod player, an RCA Lyra, which probably doesn't support Og. I haven't had the time to fight with my Linux boxes. He's got a Fedora Core 5 and Ubuntu 5.1 to get them to play podcasts. I'll get there eventually. It's challenges like the one you threw down in 104 that gets newbies like me recharged and motivated after long stretches of struggling with a less than newbie-friendly OS. I'm going to do some research on the Og format, but I promise that if I like what I read, I'll submit my late vote for you to switch to Og. For all I know, since I'm probably about 2.5 months behind, you may have already made the decision whether or not to switch. Okay, I'm off to episode 105. Keep up the good work. Well, I actually have not made the decision to switch yet. I've been kind of just keeping an eye on it to see what happens with it. I really would like those who can to switch over to Ogvorbis and tell everyone else who can to switch over as well. If you want to help Joe here out and tell him a little bit about Ogvorbis and maybe provide some links, go to my website, linux.quicksurf.com. Leave some comments on the show notes with some links or whatever. They won't show up right away, but again, like I said before, I will moderate them and approve appropriate comments. So anyway, speaking of which, if any of you have been following my blog over at quicksurf.com, you'll know that I've released a little podcatcher application. It's called J Podcatcher, and as far as I know, it's the only one that has a match on Google right now. I actually checked to see if there was any phrases on Google matching J Podcatcher, and there were none, believe it or not. So snapped it up, got a web page up there. It's basically a little Java powered scripted, similar to Bashpotter, scripted podcatcher that runs on Java, and you can put in a .sh file, all the stuff that you want, or you can, if you're on Windows, use a batch file, or if you're on a Mac, again, a .sh file. On Linux or Mac, set it to execute, and schedule it to run once an hour or whatever, and it'll just go through and download the latest podcast and put it in a static file name. So anyway, I thought I'd bring it up here because it does work with Ogvorbis. It will pull those down, no problem. And I'm kind of looking for some beta testers. I have released a 0.9 version, and if anybody wants to download it and try it out, head over to quicksurf.com, and you'll see an entry introducing J Podcatcher, and or you can go to the projects page up at the top, and you'll see it there as well. So feel free to download it, play with it. The only thing that you have to have is Java 1.4 or greater installed. So anybody who wants to mess around with it, give me some feedback. Let me know what works, what doesn't, and I'll make revisions. So anyway, that's what's going on. I still haven't completely switched over to the Mac for recording or anything like that. And actually, I just logged in Windows because I'm still actually doing the recording on Windows using Traction 2. And Symantec came up and said, "You have 32 days left on your virus subscription. Do you want to renew now or later?" And I'm like, later. And I'm thinking I'm just going to uninstall it because now I'm not even using this particular system to even go on the internet. It's all it is at this point is a digital audio workstation, and I would rather not have antivirus getting in the way. So I'm seriously considering not even installing it. So we'll see, or deinstalling it and not updating at all. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings because it is Windows XP. But anyway, we'll see what's up, what happens with that, and I'll keep everybody updated. In terms of anything else new going on, you can always visit us on the web, linux.quicksurf.com. You can email me, linux@quicksurf.com. I do accept audio comments. I do have a Skype. My call to is Linux Log, even though I'm hardly ever actually logged in. And I do have a voicemail hotline, 602-466-3134. That's 602-466-3134. Do feel free to call in, leave a message, and I will play it at the on the appropriate podcast. Also, let's see here. Actually, no, also. That should do it. So I will talk with all of you next time. Until then, bye-bye.